Now, you sort of take it for granted if the ambulance comes to assist that it is going to be a sort of pristine, clean interior, sort of surgical surroundings that you'll get when those doors open and the hard-working and busy paramedics get you on board. But apparently that isn't necessarily the case. They've been inspecting the ambulances and not all is well. I want to speak to one of the RQIA's representatives, Dr. Lourda Gagan, who's a medical director at the Regulation and Quality Improvement Authority. Dr. Gagan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
How worried should we be? First of all, paint the picture for us. What percentage of ambulances say aren't as clean as they should be?
Well, as you've described, Frank, we have over recent months been working with the Northern Ireland Ambulance Trust in relation to their systems and arrangements for infection control and for hygiene and cleanliness. And on the 22nd of February, we undertook some monitoring visits to 21 ambulance stations across the province, across all five divisions of the Ambulance Trust. And we did find a good standard of hygiene and cleanliness in a number of the stations and a number of the vehicles that we inspected on the day. However, we did also find some stations and some vehicles where the standards were not as high as we would have liked them to be. So in total, we visited 21 stations and we checked on 27 ambulance vehicles during those visits.
Could you give us an example of what you found in the back of the ambulance that caused concern?
So I should preface my comments by saying this was not uniform across all the areas. We did find some areas and some ambulances that were of an exemplary standard. But in some areas, in two areas in particular, we did find some ambulances that were not at the standard of cleanliness that we would have required, bearing in mind that the back of an ambulance is a clinical treatment environment. So for your listeners to explain that, if a listener is attending their general practitioner and the treatment room in the GP surgery is a clinical environment, if listeners are attending the emergency department, that's also a clinical environment. So in the back of the ambulance, as a clinical environment, we expect exemplary standards of hygiene and cleanliness, and that's all about ensuring that patients are safe and that the risk of infection is prevented.
But what did you find? Did you find blood?
In some of the ambulances, we did find evidence that the ambulances were not as routinely cleaned to a high standard as we would want. We found evidence that some equipment was dusty and was not did not show signs of regular cleaning. We saw evidence that some of the sharps boxes in which the used needles are stored were not necessarily used properly, labelled properly, closed properly. And yes, we did find some instances, not a lot, but we did find some instances where there was some blood on some surfaces.
That's concerning that there isn't a system in place to ensure that something as basic as using a disinfectant and wipes on blood isn't in place.
Well, I think you have really hit the nail on the head there, and you mentioned a very important word there, Frank, which is about systems. This really is about systems and arrangements for assuring highest practice across the trust, across a complex organization. So I mentioned that we did find some areas of exemplary high standards, some ambulances extremely clean, and evidence that a huge amount of work had gone into designing the systems and the arrangements to keep those ambulances clean and to check on them and to make sure that the checks are done very regularly. And it is really about the system and the oversight and the monitoring and management of the system that we are particularly focusing on. And that is why we have moved to recommend to the Department of Health that we support the Ambulance Trust with a special measure, which is seconding a senior clinician into the ambulance service to help them with exactly that, their systems in terms of oversight and governance around infection control. And the systems really are about ensuring that there's consistency in their arrangements. So when there are pockets of very, very good practice, that those systems are spread across all of the organisation consistently. And when there are areas where the practice falls below what is required, that there is a system to pick up that risk very quickly, and that the system will kick into place to make sure that that risk is managed. And in managing that risk in this instance means cleaning the back of the ambulance and ensuring that the equipment is clean, that single-use equipment is only used once, that everything is in date, and crucially that there aren't any blood or body fluid spillages in the back of the ambulance. And we all know that people who are carried in ambulances can be very sick, they can bleed, so it's crucially important that the systems for cleaning the ambulances are very consistent.
Who does the cleaning? Is it the paramedic, or would there be a team of cleaners who come on board when an ambulance arrives?
So the Ambulance Trust will be able to explain to you themselves exactly what their systems are, but broadly, what happens, there are a number of sort of levels to the cleaning. For the ambulance, after each patient has been in an ambulance and been carried in an ambulance, we expect a cleaning in between patients. We also expect the ambulance to be cleaned at the end of every shift, and then there is a third mechanism by which the ambulances are stood down on a periodic basis to facilitate a deep clean. And the standing down and the deep clean is very important, but equally important is the cleaning of the back of the ambulance after each patient and at the end of every shift. And after each patient certainly will be the paramedics, and then there could be a variety of arrangements for cleaning at the end of a shift or standing down the ambulance periodically to make sure that it's deep cleaned.
So if we're not happy, if we're aware of being in the back of an ambulance or a relative's in the back of an ambulance, is there someone we can complain to?
Well, I would encourage everybody, as I would for anybody who's using our health and care systems, that to keep an eye out for standards of hygiene and cleanliness. And we very often receive extremely helpful information from patients and from their family members and carers in relation to things that they see. And we receive that information through lots of ways. We receive it as people talk to the people providing the service, so people can talk to the paramedics who are, assisting in the back of the ambulance. People can, if you're unhappy with the level of a service, the cleanliness, you can certainly make a complaint. All the organisations, including the ambulance service, have a complaints policy. And then many organisations will regularly ask the people that they serve, the patients that they serve, they will regularly ask the patients for feedback on a range of things, including hygiene and cleanliness. So there are lots of ways that patients and their family members can provide an input, and it's actually really important to us that we really encourage people to provide that input. And also, people can come and talk to ourselves in RQIA. We very much encourage and welcome people to also come and talk to us.
And finally, you're confident that the senior practitioner that you've recommended will deliver and that we'll have 100% cleanliness the next time you do an unannounced visit?
So we have made the recommendation to the Department of Health, and the Department of Health have advised us that they've accepted that recommendation. My understanding is that the Department of Health and the Ambulance Trust are sourcing who exactly that person will be. We have made recommendations that we think the person should be a senior clinical person. They should have experience in infection control and hygiene and cleanliness, and also experience in governance systems and assurance at an organisational level. We are confident that the seconding in of a senior person such as this into the trust will help the trust to make further improvements, bearing in mind that they have already made improvements in many areas, but there are some that still need to come up to the standard. We have recommended this special measure for 3 months in the first instance. We know the ambulance can improve because we have been back to some of the stations we visited last year, and we know that the improvements that were made in those stations have been maintained and continue to be maintained, and that's very encouraging. It's now really about ensuring that there's consistency across all of the ambulance trust, and particularly all of the ambulances, to make sure that the systems are of a very high standard all of the time for every patient, regardless of where they are or where they're being transported to or from.
Okay, Dr. Gagan, thanks for coming on this morning. Thank you very much. Thank you. Dr. Lourda Gagan, and the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service has said it takes very seriously what is being discussed, and it is committed to take all necessary steps to ensure our stations and vehicles meet the high standards required to protect the patients who use their services. You ever in an ambulance where you thought to yourself, goodness, this isn't as clean as I would expect it to be? Or vice versa, have you been on board and thought, this is a service to be very proud of? Do let us know. 02890 333 105.